Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, and thank you so much for joining us for your SmackDown post-show for June 14th. It's the go-home to Clash at the Castle, or as we affectionately around here call it, the Clashle.
What's wrong? We can't hear you.
Just
I cannot hear you.
Just
there you go, you're back. You're
internet.
Back. Ladies and gentlemen, we're... This is a live show. Anything goes. This might or might not be part of tonight's script. This is the great thing about the Friday night SmackDown post show. So
I think the Wyatt Six interrupted me. No, anytime I try to play those intros, man, it goes kerplooey on me. But that's what happens sometimes. It could have been the Wyatt. The reckoning is upon us. Okay. The Wyatt Six is cutting into our stream, but that shouldn't stop you from getting into your super chats, getting in your Humper Chats at humperchats.com. And please, please, please leave a thumbs up on this video to help people find us in the algorithm. And we also remind you to subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. All the contract news in the world unfolding over there. So much news. Jeff Hardy's contract up as of recent. Hangman's return seems to be on the horizon, according to FightfulSelect.com. Lots happening at the old Fightful Select. You also get the Fightful Select Discord, where there's a Q&A channel for Sean, in addition to the Q&A show that he does. And you get me and Alex Pulaski reviewing pay-per-views and PLEs. We're going to have one for Clash at the Castle tomorrow. And we got tonight's go-home. So, Alex, we were talking a little bit before we went on air.
Yeah.
Kind of nice that they have these in the afternoon available, so you can watch whenever you feel like from the time that they air there. But this is kind of the pattern we're in. It's like 3 weeks of programming and then a go home. 3 weeks of programming and a go home. These international crowds sweeten the pot so much, which is really, really fun. But overall, I was like, most of the stuff on the show made sense. Most of it was very predictable and go homey, as tends to be. WWE definitely has their tropes. Every company does. AEW's is like, we're going to do pull-apart brawls after everything. Sure. WWE has some that we're going to talk about and get into. But what did you think of SmackDown kind of overall? And are you looking forward to the Clash?
Like you mentioned before, before we even came on air, you know, very go-homey. You know, a lot of... there wasn't any forwarding of anything, any stories or anything like that. It was just everything that led was going to lead to tomorrow night. But no, I mean, nothing really stood out like, oh, my God, this needed to happen. Obviously, when it comes to these international shows, and we did this with the France show, it's the crowds kind of take over and it kind of becomes more about what they're doing, you know, as opposed to and, you know, the wrestlers play to it, which is, I think, perfectly fine.
Yeah, you know, think they have to.
I saw my boy Santos wrestle. We saw Randy's. You know, we'll get into it. There's little nit things here and there, but nothing that said, whoa, this is happening, you know?
Yeah, nothing outstandingly notable kind of in either direction, which is what you, I think, expect from a go-home. But let's get into all of it. We do open with Corey Graves lying to us immediately. He's like, we're live. And I'm like, no, you're not, Corey Graves. You're live. For the time K-fabe, that you're there.
Kate K-fabe.
Not live to me. But we do start with Chelsea Green and Naomi. This, I thought, was a decent enough match. It got Naomi a much-needed win, which I think was good. And I like that we're getting to see Chelsea in some extended matches. So much fun hearing her come down the ramp to that intro from Samantha, which was really, really fun. And also just like, I think it says a lot to both women, but especially Chelsea, that Piper was getting these huge cheers and reactions in a positive way. And Chelsea is getting these comical heel reactions where people, even though they're a duo, I love that they played right into the hand of what they were being fed, right? Like Chelsea's getting booed like crazy. Piper's getting these monster reactions. So I thought that was super fun, but this went kind of the way you would expect. You had Chelsea going for a roll-up with her feet on the ropes for two, but Bayley and Piper arguing on the outside and Chelsea yelling at Bayley and going for an unprettier.
Mm-hmm.
And Naomi countering with the backstabber into a roll-up for the win here. What I liked about that finish was Bayley was arguing with Piper. I find it kind of annoying when baby faces directly cheat with people, and they do that a lot with like, well, you guys cheated, so I get to cheat or whatever. Right. Yeah. But Bayley was arguing with the person that she has a problem with heading into tomorrow, right? So I like that. And Chelsea getting distracted by that feels a little bit off, but like she should kind of be looking out for Piper because she's been championing her as if it's her own, right? In this way. So I kind of liked that. And I appreciated that it was a logical way to go about business instead of Bayley pulling a fast one on Chelsea specifically. Cause that kind of stuff annoys me when it's the face doing it, but decent enough match to me. Chelsea's just a riot. Like I love watching her in there and I loved hearing all the good energy for Piper and all the boos coming down for Chelsea. A really good way to kick off the show with that. What did you think?
Yeah, I love watching Chelsea Green in the ring because she, you know, for the talent that she is, where she kind of brings that comedy aspect of things with her facial expressions, just yelling at people. God, she's so good in the ring as well. Like she can really like mix it up. She did tonight with the ladies. You know, I did notice something with Piper being on the outside. Man, she felt like an enforcer out there.
Yeah,
like she was like, she wasn't taking any shit. She wasn't going to be like provoked in any way. Like she was going to command what was going to happen in that ring or outside of it or whatever she wanted to do, you know, within interference and fighting back and forth with Bayley, whatever. But she looked like a badass, which that's the Piper that I want so badly at all times, man.
Yeah, if they shift from being a tag team to more of an alliance, which it feels like they have, I'm okay with that. If they split them up at some point, I'm okay with that too. Chelsea is unbelievable, and there's so many different directions they can go. They had some real fun with her and Ariana Grace on NXT being extremely silly together. She can play mouthpiece. She can be a single standalone star. She can be a pin eater, or she can make you believe that she can really, really do some damage in there. Like you said, like at the end of the day, she knows what she's doing in that ring. And
hell yeah, dude.
So
yeah.
That kind of versatility, I think, is so awesome. And I also think it's awesome when Ricardo pops in and says, at work, just saying hi. Love you, Kate and Alex. Well, we love you.
Love you,
Ricardo.
You like that, right? Ricardo. Save that, clip it. You can have it.
Oh, that's what we want.
You
that's
can listen to it every night.
Ricardo. Like my ASMR.
Yeah. I'll do ASMR here on Fifel Wednesday nights at 12 a.m. Just kidding.
Well, I'm going to go about today's episode a little bit differently because there were so many groupings of things, too. Yeah. So we're going to talk about all of this stuff together real quick. Later in the night, we have Bailey and Naomi in the back. And Bailey kind of says to Naomi, thank you for having my back out there. I know it hasn't been easy the past couple months because she's a champ and she's got a target on her back. And Naomi says, don't give me thanks. Give me a hug. And they have this really nice moment together. And Blair Davenport says, feel the glow, right, to her, which I thought was really fun, and then walks off. And this is good because they haven't done anything with Blair Davenport. I think they were expecting that a European crowd would know who she was more than they did.
Yeah.
They're going to need to introduce her to us with a little bit more strength around it. I'm not reawakening the vignette discourse, but they're going to have to do more with Blair Davenport on her screen. I believe she was in contract negotiations too, so I'm sure that was a part of this. But I'm a huge Blair Davenport fan, has been since she was Bea Priestley. Thought she did some outstanding work in NXT. I think I made this comparison before, but I think it's worth reiterating. She has the thing that Samoa Joe has where she's like, I'm a badass and I have size and strength, but that cool factor where like that I don't get rattled by anything thing is so cool to me. Like I love when like strong women are not presented in like a, oh my gosh, look how strong I am way. And that's the only attribute that they have. Like, she can just go around crushing people, and I love that. But she has that just, like, very chill, assassin-like energy about her. And we got to see a little bit of that here. I really hope they start to build her up on the main roster, because I think she has an incredibly high ceiling and can do some awesome work. Your thoughts on this vignette and Blair Davenport?
Blair looked a little bit to me like a young Paige. I was like, whoa, like when I kind of looked at her a little bit.
A lot of people say Jamie Hayter, and they were actually a tag team together. Yeah, because usually because the hair, it's the hair that does it, but they were a tag team together in Japan. So
yeah, that does it. And you know, again, it's me getting smarted up to all these, you know, international wrestlers that are coming into WWE. It's not as easy.
You don't know
as
every wrestler.
I try to. I know the roster is about 1,036 deep right now on both sides of the coin. So
you're a wrestling podcaster. Name every wrestler. Kat, you have to super chat every wrestler. And I'm not saying that because of the characters that the money would give us, like, because you have to pay
for
sets of characters. Name every wrestler.
Yokozuna, Lex Luger, Macho Man Randy Savage, Doink. Whatever, do I continue?
Time's up, bro. You failed. So, no, I'm just kidding.
It's my last night of Fightful, everyone.
To be honest, like, that's kind of cool because you have a different impression than I do of Blair Davenport. Yes. So I'm excited about that, actually.
And I'm excited to see what they bring into the fold. I love to see what's been happening in the new WWE era. I don't know if you knew this. There was a new WWE era, new era.
What?
New era.
That is brand new information.
Brand new era, hashtag dag tonight. Just being able to see that they're not only being able to come into the system that they're being brought into, but also showcase who they are, right? Yeah. They're not being stifled and kind of like that NXT 2.0 era that was just kind of wacky. These people coming in and these wrestlers are just, man, they're just bringing it, and they're bringing themselves and then their character and then, you know, their wrestling skills. It's not being micromanaged. That's what I love.
Yeah, there's definitely some more authenticity, it feels like, in the presentations that we got. I actually think Bailey's an outstanding example of that, of her being like able to be a smart baby face was so refreshing in the way that storyline played out. So I agree with you. Sincerely, very glad that the new era talk has subsided. Very glad that the we're the best wrestle thing in AEW being shoved down our throats has also subsided a little bit. Like, show us, don't tell us so much. So I'm very happy about both of those things.
This is where the best podcast, Fightful.
We're the best podcast.
Fightful
Select, we're the best scoops. Bad Robot, who we love, and by the way, looks great all the time, has the best hair I've ever seen in my life.
Sexy.
I hope he's doing so well.
I send them clavicle selfies.
Oh my gosh. You could be charging for that, and you're just giving it away to Bad Robot.
It's our fans, baby.
Such a cool dude. Saying, hello, favorite post show. Well, hello to you. I missed being here live last week because I was at my first indie show in decades, and it was so fun. Happy Pride. Wrestling is for everyone. Can't wait for Bailey and Piper. I love that you went to your first indie show and that it was such a fun experience. Independent wrestling is my favorite wrestling on the planet. Like, it just is. I love that I get to do commentary for it. There's just an intimacy there that you never will get with arena wrestling. And I love that it was a fun and safe environment for you to enjoy wrestling in. I try and say it as much as I remember to, but wrestling is for everyone. Fightful is for everyone.
Really,
happy Pride. You are safe here. You are safe in our chat. Thanks to the wonderful moderator, Luis. This is a crew.
And I'll fight anyone.
And also, Alexis will fight anybody
who is
mean to you.
Listen, I'm a retired Marine. I like fighting.
That's what's up. I'll be your Chelsea Green. I'll just be extremely silly, and you can be the intimidating
enforcer. Yeah,
because I don't know how to fight, but I know how to be silly and to talk some S. So, but happy Pride Month. You're safe here. Wrestling is for everyone. Fightful is for everyone. And if anyone has anything to say about that, they can piss off.
Yeah.
We move along to banning this nerd from the chat because I've got mod powers too.
Wait, I can't see the chat. Someone's starting up trouble.
Yeah, they're just like, stop begging for money. Like, we're just saying if you want to send in super chats, then you can. And
go to sleep, dude. Like, go find something else to do. Go to bed. If you're not out partying, doing something constructive with yourself, destroying your liver in any type of way, don't come here and be a nuisance. We're having fun. Go to sleep.
Go to bed.
God.
Go to bed. You're done.
That's our new hashtag here, Friday nights.
Oh my God, that pops me tremendously. I think they were in here twice under different burners too, which is genuinely
that's incredible. Never thought
Luis
that would
beat
happen.
Me to the ban, which is upsetting. But we move along. I love us. We're so fun.
We are.
We get Baron Corbin, who's backstage with Nick Aldis, and he's another one that when the draft happened, I had really high hopes for because he was doing great work in NXT. Was kind of hoping they were going to keep him and Bron Breakker together, but they decided to split him up. Bron is obviously being pushed heavily as a single star, which is cool. Baron Corbin did some of his best work, I felt like, on that NXT run. He was kicking butt, and he's backstage, and he kind of addresses, which he always does. He's really good at this in promos. Mm-hmm. Like, he says he went back to NXT, he had some issues to work out. And I just like that he was kind of like, this is where I left off. This is where I'm coming back in, which is good. They got to get better at these NXT handoffs. I'm not going to beat a dead horse. We talk about it all the time, but he's one that because he was on the main roster, I felt like before they really should have had something for him. There's also just people missing in action, like Shinsuke Nakamura, which kind of blows my mind. So I'm hoping we get some refreshed roster soon. I think it would also help with the pacing of some of the stories we're getting. But all this to say, that Legato comes in and they start mocking Baron Corbin.
There they are.
And Nick Aldis says, we'll talk about it later to Baron Corbin. And Aldis just says that they're lucky they're in the building after last week and says that they were fine. Next time, that'll be the least of their worries. And Santos says he doesn't mind the fine and Apollo must be okay. And Aldis says he's cleared to compete. And Santos says he will see how long that lasts. So the threats coming in hot. They get a match made for tonight. Man, I can't say enough about Nick Aldis in this role. Like, I was so bummed that they were going to make him not a wrestler because I think he has a lot to contribute in ring. But mm-hmm. he has walked into this authority figure role and played it differently than we see a lot of authority figures play it. He has just felt like someone who's authentically trying to run a show, and nobody ever does that. I feel like Adam Pearce is very over the top and always stressed. Other GMs were always in it for themselves and manipulating things. He's just like, you beat people's ass, you're going to get fined.
That's it. I love that.
So some good stuff, and very happy to see Santos Escobar on my screen.
Any thoughts
on that before we get into the match?
No, like you said before, I'm glad to see Baron coming in back, you know, into the fold. You mentioned it used to be something where they went away, came back, and nothing was like ever spoken of, you know. Like, it's cool that they're allowing them to have continuity within, you know, what they do with themselves and move forward. And, you know, Nick Aldis, and he comes in and we said this from the minute he came in, he has that presence that feels like he's a real freaking manager. You know, like someone who's really like, you know, like he's fair to you when you come into him and you want to talk to him. And like a manager, he's going to come down with the hammer when you mess up.
I agree with you. And I think from the minute he started not caring about the Bloodlines BS, I was like, he's got it. Like, yes. He fully understands the context that he's walking.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I thought that was so cool that he was like, most of Roman stuff was before I was even here. This guy hasn't been around for the 3 months that I've been here, whatever. Like, I don't care. Paul Heyman can cry all he wants. Like, that doesn't matter to me. So he's just absolutely crushed it. But this match that we get between Santos Escobar and Apollo Crews, I actually thought was more fun than I was expecting, except for a couple of spots, which we'll get into. But this finishes with Angel and Humberto, who attack Corbin, who came out. Corbin lays them out, but Electra Lopez there to push Apollo off the top rope and Santos Escobar for the win. Don't love double roll-ups in our first two matches. Be better. Have your match agents talk to each other, because that's lazy as heck. But well done enough. I loved Santos hitting that running shoulder and then the kick to the head and the slingshot senton, I thought was awesome. I also loved the tilt-a-whirl backbreaker into the arm and chin bar sequence that we got in this. Apollo Crews in-ring was never an issue. His NXT run was so weird, I don't think because of his fault. They just didn't know what they were doing with him. Nice to see him back on my TV because you get showcases like this. I thought they had really good chemistry. This was probably my favorite match of the night just because I loved a lot what happened in ring. Kevin Owens makes me love him for different reasons, but like from a pure in-ring perspective, I thought this was super, super fun. I love Santos Escobar coming down in the gear that he came out with, or really the outfit that he came out with tonight. The only thing was that Baron Corbin distraction. And I think this is just because the ramp was so long.
Sure.
Santos was just standing there for like 5 minutes. It felt like the distraction was not like, oh shit, where he turned his head. He was like, I am so distracted for a very long time by Baron Corbin's presence. Certainly Apollo Crews is not going to capitalize on how distracted I am right now. Like, it took so long, and I think it was just literally the entrance ramp, but it made Santos look kind of stupid. Like, he's a smarter competitor than that. That's my only real complaint in this, though. I know you love Santos, too. He's like,
love Santos.
He's got to get in that title picture after hopefully LA Knight beats Logan Paul. I hope. But what did you think of Apollo Crews and Santos Escobar tonight?
First of all, just seeing Apollo Crews kind of just being showcased again, I feel like Apollo Crews is taking over that Dolph Ziggler role where he's been with the company for so long that you could just insert him into absolutely any match and he's just going to freaking knock it out of the ballpark. You know, Dolph was down at NXT, so was Apollo. Like, it's just like parallels are there, and he's just going to be solid. And Santos, what more can I say? I love his character, his demeanor, everything in the ring. It doesn't miss. He's really that good, and I kind of just wonder, like, what are we waiting for?
I'm more hopeful that he will thrive under Triple H because I am hopeful that both of these guys will thrive under Triple H because Triple H with Apollo Crews has a track record of being able to make him a star. We saw that at NXT. Mm-hmm. And with Santos, you know, it wasn't a secret that Vince had like his body guys or whatever. I think he's so good that you're going to want him to have a long title reign when he has one, but we got to get out of this. Like, Hispanics only fight other Hispanics.
Please,
for the love of God. But Will saying GM Nick is great, but I've seen him as a heel and I still see that uptight prick in his eyes. I would love for, because we don't see this with managers. They're just automatically heel managers or they are not. Right, or they are Adam Pearce, a manager turning heel and getting back into the ring because the right babyface lured him into that, I think could be really, really fun. And I think he could be the guy to pull that off. But yeah, I understand what you're saying. If you've seen him wrestle, if you saw him in NWA and you saw him in TNA, it is kind of hard to shake that and get that out of your head. But killing it so far. Very, very happy. Very, very happy with that.
Also, shout out to Santos, man. He's I set him up in with a cool ass gig that's coming up real soon. Kind of like the History of Lucha Libre Wrestling podcast, and he's going to be the voice of it.
That's so cool.
I can't wait to kind of like share more details and the name of what he's doing, but super excited for him and where he's going with this. Like, it's going to be super dope. And then kind of like, you know, I'm sliding in there kind of working a little something extra. So,
okay.
You know what I'm saying? Scoops Cardozzi.
That was like so clavicly of you where you were like, I'm going to give you a little bit, but I'm going to keep the rest.
I always do that. I try to blue clavicle you. You know what I'm saying?
Blue clavicle. Oh, I wish I had Blue Chew as a sponsor tonight.
Damn. I was trying to throw it to you before. I didn't know if we did with the hammer talk, you know, with Nick and I'll just bring down the hammer, but.
Not tonight, but save it because I'm sure on a different night. This is not true. This is my cousin trolling me, saying that if we get 10 upvotes, I will review every episode of Burn Notice. I don't like Burn Notice. My cousin loves Burn Notice. He and my sister are both obsessed with Burn Notice.
I think they're bringing it back, aren't they?
Probably. Nobody does anything but reboot stuff anymore. I'm so old. Guys, leave a thumbs up, get in those super chats and those humper chats at humperchats.com. We thank you so much for joining us tonight on the Go Home to Clash at the Castle. My goodness, we've got a loaded weekend for you. The TNA post show is probably going on now, if not very soon. They, of course, had a pay-per-view because every week they have a special or a pay-per-view, but whatever. That's awesome for them. I know Joel will be there. I'm not sure if it's with Cresta or with Steven Jensen or someone else, but They will be bringing you that post show tomorrow. You'll have your regular main channel post show for Clash at the Castle. You will also have me and Alex Pulaski on Fightful Select. We're going to go right after the pay-per-view. Sometimes we stilt that with the main channel post show, but not so much the case tomorrow. Tons of content here for you on Fightful. I think there were something like 7 podcasts today alone.
Yeah.
Or at least streams. Absolutely, absolutely crazy. I'd also encourage you to check out some of the interviews that Sean has been doing as well. Interviewing Mark Henry, interviewing Jordan Grace. She gave us a couple little scoopies, including her poor ear that was ripped open by her earring in Roxanne Perez's thigh. And Sami Zayn, a fantastic interview. One of my favorites for a long time. So very, very excited about that. Very, very excited about. But less excited about these a-holes from down under, I tell ya. These jerks. Grayson Waller and Austin Theory. Man, Grayson Waller just has it. Like he does. And I don't think they've utilized him to his ceiling. He's young. He's got plenty of time. I just don't want him to get lost in the shuffle because this tag title reign has not felt like a priority on SmackDown programming so far. But he comes out there. Austin Theory asks where the good plants are, and Waller says he couldn't bring them because Scotland's so depressing that fake plants can't even grow, which I thought was cute. He knows how to walk that line of getting heat in this exact way. Like he's really, really good at the playful jabs and pushing the envelope when he needs to. He just has a good feel for that. But he welcomes DIY out here on the Grayson Waller effect. They look around the set and toss a sign and a chair into the ring. And Waller says, no wonder you have a small chair because you act like children.
Oh, my God.
And Ciampa says, we get what you're going for with the one chair thing. But he basically calls Austin Theory Waller's secretary in this, which I like. They kind of banter back and forth about the footage. I love, love that. Grayson Waller says that it's AI and not real footage. I haven't heard anyone do that yet. I've been waiting for that because it's sitting right there. And I thought it was clever that he took advantage of it. Only complaint to this point is he says that he's not taking friendship advice from Ciampa. And he does that in referencing the footage, but there's such an extensive history that he doesn't dive into between Gargano and Ciampa and turning on each other and stuff like that, that I know they didn't have all day here, but they had enough time that I feel like he could have dug in a little bit more to the history between Gargano and Ciampa rather than just the more surface level stuff. But Ciampa basically just wants to cut to the point because Ciampa rules and says that they're in Scotland in front of a crowd of crazy bastards and that they didn't come here to see a stupid talk show. They came here for a fight and to fight for those tag titles and that they want to see it tonight. And Waller says, defend the titles in Glasgow? In this economy, no way. And he sees what Ciampa's doing, trying to create a wedge between the two of them, which I like because that's obviously where the story's already going, right? And Johnny says he's known Austin Theory for a long time, which is great. If you're not familiar, they were in The Way together, which was a fun heel faction. And that he says that they go way back and he's always believed in him and is proud of him, but that he doesn't need Waller. And what makes me nervous is it feels like they're going to try and make Austin Theory the babyface out of it, and it ain't going to work. I just don't see that guy as a face at all. So I'm hoping that's not the case here. But man, I think it's going to be a flop if they try to turn Austin Theory face because he hasn't had any sort of connection with anybody. Waller turning on him doesn't really give me an emotion one way or the other. And that is tough because Grayson Waller is a great heel, right? So that's kind of tough, but we recapped a lot of this, Cardozo. What did you think of the little back and forth that we got out of here?
I enjoyed it. I like them for coming in, DIY coming in and just throwing things out of the friggin' ring and just rearranging furniture and just, you know, just doing, just, I,
just I need wrestling.
I need them to come out of their little, like, stint that they have had in the last couple months with what do you call it? You the DX thing and you know the joking around. I want them to kind of just jump out of that and be what they used to be, or a new version of that. And to show us how good they can really be in the ring again, you know, because they've kind of been lost in the shuffle a little bit. And you're 100% correct with Theory. There's never been a connection with the fans in him.
Yeah.
It's if you would call the connection the anger that we have towards him for just being a chicken shit heel, then yes. But there's nothing for me to feel and say, oh my God, I need to get behind this guy because I know he could be really worth our time. And right. Probably that's just because WWE has never tried. I'm pretty sure if they got behind him and pushed him in a certain way and put him in situations where you don't think if he was getting his ass beat, people would be like, theory. It's weird, but the WWE crowd seems to do that.
He faced a lot of really high quality opponents. He had a title reign. He faced Seth Rollins a million times and couldn't get over. He faced John Cena a million times and couldn't get over. And the promos were not very good. And that's why he's really good in the ring. And he was good in the way. So I feel like they should have pulled him off TV and repackaged him. And I think he has potential. But I don't think this is how you get there. But if you're not over facing John Cena at Mania...
I think he was the most over when he had a golden egg.
You know, and that's a fair point. Maybe we didn't start off on the best on the best note. When he was given a golden egg that was a movie prop that people were chasing around during Survivor Series, maybe it wasn't the best out of the gate, but he's very, very good in the ring. So if they can figure out something that feels more authentic character-wise for him, I think he could be really great for them. He has not connected with the crowd in a way that evokes enough emotion that there's going to be any heat when Grayson Waller turns on him. So far. Guys, get in those super chats and those humper chats. We are moving right along through this episode of SmackDown. We get our match here. We get Grayson Waller attacking Gargano, and they start brawling. Well, not like a proper match, I should say, but Waller knocking down Ciampa and going for the super kick, and Ciampa nailing Waller with a running knee. Holy cow, was that a running knee if I ever saw one? And they take the titles and pose with them as Grayson Waller is fuming. So...
it looked good with them. And second to that point is I love those titles over the nipple covers that they have on Raw.
So good looking.
The nipple covers over there just don't do it for me. I don't know why I call them
the
that.
Pepperoni pies. Yeah, they're not great. Just like
bloop.
They're not great. These ones are gorgeous. These look like New Japan belts were gorgeous.
They are classic style WWE that just says, take this, you're a champion. Yeah.
I'm confused about why they aren't. I feel like for the most part, all the titles are duplicates of each other, split brand. And then we got like one style for Raw and a very different style for SmackDown. I'm not against it. It was just it's obviously a very intentional choice. And I'm a little intrigued by that. But
yeah.
Backstage, we get a quick note from Waller in Theory. And Waller says that DIY are not good guys. So I like it. Will saying they should just let Theory wrestle because he's a good worker. I always say when we know you're a Cincy guy, the fans don't like you. Look at Drew's first run. Look at Charlotte, even Super Cena and Big Dog Roman. I don't know what they need to do with Austin Theory. I just know that what they're doing hasn't worked so far. Like there hasn't been... a ton of times on commentary, he's done a lot where I'm like, he's added so much to commentary or whatever.
He's very down the middle. Unfortunately, he has, the crowd, like you mentioned before, it's not clicking. And he's boxed in. You know, they used to talk back in the early wrestling days about being boxed in. There it is. Yeah.
Vince guy, yeah.
Yeah. He's very boxed in. And when we talk about that, a lot of old school wrestlers, when they're on shows, they talk about being boxed in and penciled in as this is what you're going to be. So you're a middle of the way wrestler, and this is where you're always kind of going to stay. And that's where they'll see you all the time. And I think that's where he's at right now. And he's very young, you know?
Yeah, he's got time. He's got time with that.
Yeah, for sure.
But he's great. He's great ring-wise. So hopefully they click in something that feels less templated for a character. But speaking of templated, I had an internal struggle with myself as to whether or not I liked this Cody and AJ promo. The crowd didn't give a shit what they had to say. They were just so hyped to see both of them. They were chanting Cody's name throughout the entire thing. Mm-hmm. There are things that I really liked about it, and then there are huge gaps that I feel like really detracted from me. So let's get into it. But Cody comes out and he says AJ Styles has been given the impossible task of making him say the words, and he won't even say I quit in this promo. Not even if there's a fire will Cody Rhodes say I quit. But then he goes on to say, nobody wants to be the guy that overstays their welcome in their career, and AJ is kind of treading that path, to which I say no. He just had one of the best matches we've ever seen him have in the past, like, 3 years, I would say, against Cody. Like, that match was fantastic. And Cody previously has acknowledged, right, that AJ is phenomenal and still is phenomenal. So it just felt kind of out of place for him to say, you're out to pasture, you should be retiring. Unless it was supposed to be intended of, like, your attitude makes you it feel like you should go home, but that's not how it read to me. And then we get into something that I felt like was good and bad. I loved AJ Styles coming out, and I loved him saying, like, Cody, all you are is a quitter. You went to ROH and you quit, and you went to New Japan and you quit, and you started your own company and you quit that. The problem is, AJ Styles also went to a bunch of places before WWE and left them as well, including New Japan Pro Wrestling, where he was a huge standout. Yeah. Cody doesn't turn that around on him at all. And I was so bummed because it was sitting right there to do as the babyface. Mm-hmm. But, like, you can't call someone a quitter because they moved on when you've also done that. Mm-hmm. So I loved him tying Cody's trajectory into the concept of the I quit match. That was awesome. I loved that. But then you take a little bit of a closer look and it's like, well, no, because it's not like you came up through the WWE system, made a name and stayed there your whole life.
Yeah.
You made a huge name outside of WWE, left all of those places and also came over. So I felt very double-edged sword about that. But let's pause there. What did you think of kind of the opening exchange between Cody and AJ here?
I know this is going to be a great match. And I've said, this is 2 weeks in a row where I'm kind of saying the same thing. I'm not hyped for it. There's like, I don't feel anything because I know Cody's just not going to lose it. You know, like, I know they're going to put on a great match. I enjoy that they, unfortunately, the build started off slow, but I do see what they're trying to do and where they're going. I'm excited to see them beat the crap out of each other, because who doesn't like a good, you know, good versus evil war in the ring being told? But I just don't know where it's going. Like, the story was so rushed. It felt like they didn't have anything ready for Cody, and they kind of just threw this at him. You know, the swerve with the retirement thing was pretty funny, you know, but other than that, I want to see what's next for him, for Cody. I want to see where they're going to go, because I know SummerSlam is a big pillar event.
Yeah. So and we also have the King and the Queen of the Ring winners already picked, and we know Gunther is on the Raw brand, so they can still build somebody out for him in a longer term program. So I'm with you on that for sure.
So that's what I'm waiting for. When we get to the biggest party of the summer, look at that. I'm just selling WWE. I'm a shill. I want to see.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Where we're gonna go with him? I honestly, and I don't mean this in a bad way, I'm looking past this AJ feud right now.
I think a lot of people are, and I think the in-ring did not disappoint last time. I think them adding a stipulation was a good idea, so that it's something that's different, because I don't think they can top what they did last time without a stipulation. So right. I like that. But let's keep trudging through the rest of this promo.
Let's do it.
Cody says he didn't quit. He left for greater challenges, which I think is really good, because that is legitimate when you move on from a wrestling. Let's normalize that idea that when you move on from a wrestling company, it doesn't mean that you're betraying the company that you were at.
Yeah.
And he says if anybody quit, AJ quit on himself because he had to pretend to be Mark Henry to get a title shot, which I thought was Cody's best zinger in this. He says the phenomenal one has become a resentful coward, and he has no problem that he's been a bitter pill to swallow, and he has no problem shoving that pill down AJ's throat and making him say, I quit.
Boy.
Which is good stuff. And AJ fires back with, it's natural for Cody to say I quit, but he can't quit being phenomenal, which was a good line from him. He kind of references some of the stuff he said in the Mark Henry-esque promo about his family wishing that he would stay home and give it all up, that they're tired of him putting his body and his head through all of this. And he gets to say what he's done, not his family, not the WWE universe. He says it won't be easy. And I love this. He says that he saw what Cody did against Seth Rollins at Hell in a Cell, which I thought was really, really nice. Like calling that back. Alluding to the fact that Cody is a tough son of a bitch and it's going to be hard to put him away. But he says that he's going to tear him to pieces and make him say, I quit, and that it'll be a gift to do. So I feel like this really picked up toward the middle and the end of it. They did a really good job with that. It was just those couple logic flaws that took over for me. And also, nobody gave a crap because...
No.
The crowd was so excited to see these guys. These shows are so helped by these crowds. What did you think of the rest of the promo? Did you feel like it picked up like I thought it picked up?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the crescendo of it all was there, and you knew it was going to happen. You knew that we're going to take jabs at each other, you know, moving forward further into the promo. But again, I'm just old at this point. You know, being an old wrestling fan sucks because you're coming in it with a pair of eyes that have pretty much seen, you know, almost 35 years of wrestling, and I've seen the story play out, and I've seen where they're going with this. So I mean, the work was incredible back and forth.
I think the inevitability, though, is a thing. Like, it does take away from it, for
AJ's,
sure.
AJ's still pretty damn friggin' hot on the mic, too, man. Like, you can't take that away from him. I don't know why
it's been in a while for him.
The good fellas or the good brothers or the whatever they are. Why? What are they doing there? Like, what is their meaning again? Is, you know,
it's
BC, OG,
the
WYX. Are they back together? Like, what is happening? You know, like,
there are
lots to play there.
Their faces on NXT and they're going for the tag titles there. They split from AJ and then are suddenly back with him with no explanation. If they were going to get back with him, you could have given us Carl Anderson versus Cody at some point in this. I feel like that would have been a cool call. But, I'm with you. But some more support from you guys. Thank you so much. Will saying those fans love Cody out there. I'm sorry. It's still weird to, I think, here, New Japan and ROH names being dropped. I wanted to make a note of it, but it's becoming more and more natural on WWE television that I kind of like that it doesn't feel noteworthy anymore. It should be that way. It should be an ecosystem that acknowledges other wrestling. And I like that they're still not going to say AEW, and I get it. But it's really nice that they're acknowledging that New Japan exists and that ROH exists and all these things. So I like it. I like it. Ryan Sully saying, I watched the live version of SmackDown and the Fox version. There was a shut the F up chant towards AJ during the promo exchange, but during the Fox broadcast, they dubbed it with Cody. Cody Rhodes, a chance match should be great, though. You're not going to... not gonna piss off Fox on the
the cool thing about that is that it's television will always be a work, no matter how you look at it, no matter how you spin it, whether it's the news or a reality TV show, it's all a work. And it's just funny to see that whenever someone says no, there's no chance being pumped in or nothing being dubbed over, wrong. There's always a chance of something happening. No one's gonna say shut the F up on regular television. That's just not going to happen. But just remember, keep in mind that there's ways to play around with audio meters on live television.
Oh yeah. When Sean said that there was piped in crowd noise and people were like, I was there, it was loud. No, it wasn't. Guys, they can pipe out through the live crowd, the crowd noise. Like there are always ways to manipulate it. Of note, Tatum Paxley is wrestling Jordan Grace on TNA. I don't know if that's still the case or if that match is over, but for the TNA Knockouts title. So very cool. We're getting some crossover from the NXT side into the TNA side, which is awesome. Tatum Paxley has been repackaged with one of the coolest vignettes that they've ever done in NXT. I hope they have the character follow up with that. So some good stuff there as these interpromotional relationships continue to flourish. But Will saying, I do think that they have to walk a line because we know Cody is not losing the title just yet, because it would be very Vince to have a 2-year story and then he dropped the title in 2 months. A counter argument saying having a short title reign after 2 very long world titles from Seth Rollins and Roman would be a nice change of pace. And he's still just rooting for Karl Anderson versus AJ Styles. I don't think 2 months, but I also don't think have him hold it until Mania without dropping it. I think him dropping to someone along the way and winning it back to go into Mania as champion would be a good call. Yeah. I am fatigued on very long title reigns, personally, in general. Like, AEW switched up the playbook a little bit, but like the MJF one was super long. The Roman one was super long. Like, the Toni Storm one is a different ride, so I have no complaints about that because that woman is out of her mind. But I'm glad that we might be getting back to just the idea that like titles can switch outside of Mania, because that also makes the rest of your year kind of boring too. So like when we see Liv Morgan winning against Becky, like that makes me happy because I don't want to wait till WrestleMania to have any suspense in my life again in WWE programming. So 2 months would be too quick, I think, but I would love to see Cody drop it like Survivor Series time or something, and then he wins it back at Rumble and then he's the champ going into to Mania or whatever. Like I think that's a perfectly fine way to build up a legacy, but having a 2-year chase and then a year long title reign after that, that's long. That's long. You see it already. People are like, I can't wait for Cody to turn heel. And I'm like, he just won. Give it a second. But that's what happens when we don't have the follow up.
And the booing will begin. It always starts like that.
It does. We'll see. We'll see if we get Homeland or Cody coming in. But me, Norma, saying, meet here. Let's crank. I'm just here to support women, and Alex's, I appreciate you so much. I exited to go to Dynamite next week. I'll be the handsome one in a meat shirt. Well, we love that. Have so much fun. Live wrestling is the best. AW is a very fun live experience, so definitely have fun at that. I'll be at the Collision taping on the Thursday with my cousin, who was just trolling me earlier. For his birthday. So that should be very, very fun. I'm missing Like, Tomorrow's Collision has TMDK and Eminem, which is like the most Kate booked show. And I was like, I'm missing it by 1 week.
I'm assuming you're one of the psychos.
I am. I'm one of the sickos.
Or sickos. Sorry, yeah. Sickos. My bad. I'm a psycho.
Well, outside of Cody doing a little bit of a bet on yourself piece of this, I can tell you where he should be getting the odds to bet on himself. And that, my friends, is Bet Online.
By now, you guys know how much I love Bet Online. Every betting odds that we have ever had on Fightful, whether it be MMA, boxing, pro wrestling, come from Bet Online AG. We've given you guys a ton of great underdog picks, but you know what? They got so much more to offer at Bet Online AG. The earliest lines, the fastest payouts, the industry's best bonuses at BetOnline AG. They've been trusted for over 25 years by millions of people because of their safe and secure environment, their high credit card acceptance, and their payouts in minutes. But it doesn't end there. Baseball, basketball, fighting, soccer, or football, whatever you want to call it, BetOnline has you covered. Not just that, incredible games. Blackjack, roulette, Golden Dragon, Inferno. Bet Online has it all for you. Your one-stop shop, and this is not a fly-by-night operation. They've been around for 25-plus years, giving you the goods. Go make yourself some money. Please bet responsibly and only bet what you can.
Oh.
Bet Online, AJ. Hey, I've got a bet. And I bet it's that Alex Pawlowski is a little bit sour about some things that happened on today's program. I'll be live with Alex Pawlowski on FightfulSelect.com after the play tomorrow, as we so affectionately call it. So you can check out our Clash at the Castle review. He was also reviewing this very SmackDown to the tunes of AEW Rampage watch-along style. But we welcome him for the sour fower, as we do whenever we don't go off air before you.
That's how that works. Kate.
Alex.
I like Mia Yim. I do. I don't think she should be on two shows at the same time. If on one of the shows she is treated as a veteran who can teach you stuff, and on the other one she's a jobber, I don't feel like you should do those at the same time.
Well, Jay Miller agrees with you. This Mia Yim booking is weird. Beats Jada on NXT, pretty much gets squashed by Nia, then is the first challenger for Kalani for the North American title championship.
Yeah,
we were just talking about that too with the Good Brother as Good Brothers as well. And yeah, they're babyface on one program, they're heel on the other, they're good on one program, they're bad on the other. It's not like great.
Yeah. I don't understand why you have her break Jada Parker's undefeated streak on Tuesday, because I think you and I both agree Jada Parker is an up and comer and she's one of the best in this new class. She's almost certainly a future champ in NXT, especially now that they have a mid card belt. She might be a future champ on the main roster. She's really great. Why you would sacrifice her undefeated streak to Mia Yim via a roll up pin on a Tuesday to have Mia Yim fly to Scotland and to get squashed? She lost in three moves. The match was a minute and 20, but for like a minute and 12 of that, she was in control of it. And then Nia Jax hit, like, she steamrolled through her, hit an elbow drop, hit her finisher, done. Three moves. Oh, and a glass of water in the face.
Yeah.
So unless that water was hydrochloric acid, there's no excuse for losing the match that way. And then, because she defeated Jada Parker's undefeated streak on Tuesday, this next Tuesday, she's going to get a title match versus Kalani Jordan right after she got squashed by Nia Jax. And I feel like you should probably cater to the people who watch all of your products and less to the people who don't. That's just my own thing. But yeah, anyway. Also,
no, I agree wholeheartedly. And you know what, though? Like, they're different people on each program. Like, they're good and bad. So maybe it's a lesson in that good people thrive and succeed, and that when you're mean, you get smooshed by Nia Jax.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not really sour about this, but I did think it was kind of funny that, like, LA Knight racked up all those frequent flyer miles to go to Puerto Rico and go over to Logan Paul's tax dodge, house, and then just sit in his pool. And then when he was asked to leave, he just did so without incident. Like, that's not LA Knight. We've seen that man go to people's houses and fight them on their lawns. What are you? He's like, I just came over to hang out in your pool, and you have politely requested that I exit the premises, and I shall do so. That's not really professional wrestling to me, but I mean, whatever.
He didn't even really talk any S. Like, he just kind of was like, all right, I'm out.
Yeah, I guess that's a thing. Did you notice that Carmelo Hayes declared for the Money in the Bank the exact same way that Jey Uso did 2 weeks ago? They're not even hiding how lazy they're getting with stuff. Like, even the simple something as simple as I would like to be in the ladder match, please, is done the exact same way on Raw and on SmackDown. Yeah. I feel like that's just too easy.
It would make sense that you have to qualify, but at least we're not getting a combine to be in qualifiers to be in a ladder match.
That is better. That's better. I like that a lot.
Alex, do you want to be in the ladder match?
I mean, sure. Why not?
Okay, I'll be in it too. We'll be like ladder match besties.
Cool. That's great.
Cardoza, do you want to be in the ladder match? Let's declare.
I mean, I'm pretty disabled, but yeah, why not?
It is what it is. We're all three of us here on the SmackDown Post Show. Sean should be writing a scoop about this right now. We've all declared.
If I drop from the second rung, uh-huh. It's over.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Steps up. Yeah. Oh, no.
So I guess the last thing really isn't anything about tonight, but Tala Tonga.
Tala, like, baby.
Tala, if you tear me, I don't know, because it's just like, hey, which one's Hikaleo? Oh, that one, the Tala one, and they're like, great, it's a name now.
Well, what's so weird about it is I'm pretty sure that's his middle name for real, but
I know it is. Like, but it is.
He owns Hikaleo, and Hikaleo is great. Like, just
no, he has to be. I mean, listen, I know it's his real middle name, however. It is very funny that his real middle name turned out to be how you would describe him, how you would pick him out in a crowd among other Tongas.
Well, like, and especially
if there's a lineup and there are five Tongas,
that's the Tala Tonga.
That's the Tala one. That's the, yeah. And they'd be like, that's just actually his name.
And then though. There's like the middle Tonga.
And then I was thinking, though, yeah. Unfortunately, like, I don't even want to know what they're going to call Jacob Fatu. Is it going to be Fata Fatu? I don't want Fata Fatu.
Fata Fata.
To be Jacob Fatu's name.
Fata Fata, everyone.
Well, what's so weird to me, too, is I feel like they were, because it's Tama Tonga and Tangaloa, it felt like to me they were like, you're the infamous and you're the right hand, so that there were separation in the identities, and now they're going to bring in Tala Tonga, which, like, takes that away?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
Hey, now we're getting now with Randy Orton there, and I'm sure the Street Profits will be back in health on cleared in no time. Well, then there's four guys on the good guys' side. I wonder who the bad guys could possibly get to counteract the good guys. And if Bobby Roman Lashley ever gets healthy, well, that's five guys on the good guys' side. I wonder who the bad guys could possibly get to counteract that. I mean, it'll be. Listen, I'm really looking forward for Fata Fatu, whatever they're going to call him when he gets there. Jacob Fatu is the truth. He's the real deal. So I'm looking forward
to that. How funny would it be if he was just Jacob?
Jake.
He comes out and he's Jake
from Tonga Farm. That's what he is. He's Jake. Jake from Tonga Farm. All right.
My goodness. Well, if you want to see Alex and I be sour behind the paywall tomorrow, join us for after Clash of the Castle. We'll be on right after the play. Yep. So
after that,
anything good on Rampage that you wanted to
Tony Storm's amazing. Pac,
she's great.
There's not a lot else to talk about. Oh, I forgot to say this. I don't quit. I don't know the meaning of the word quit. Quitting is not in my makeup. I certainly won't quit. I am such a not quitter that you will never find me quitting. I quit.
Oh, well, if that was my quit match, Alex just lost, so
I've never quit. I've cried.
I think I've cried and then quit in succession. But I'll tell you what never quits.
Oh,
looking out for you is NordVPN.
Oh,
I'm traveling a lot, and when you travel, you got to protect your data. You got to protect your privacy online. NordVPN.com/Fightful allows me to do that, allows me to browse safely and securely. When you go to an airport, when you go to an arena, a restaurant, a hotel, you're usually connecting to that unsecured Wi-Fi, which leaves you susceptible to having your data stolen, any number of things taken from your private connection or what should be your private connection. NordVPN.com/Fightful makes it a private connection with the fastest VPN in the world, a 30-day money-back guarantee, and a ton of other features in addition to that peace of mind that you get when you can browse safely and securely. And I'm talking all your devices, Surface Pro, laptop, desktop, PC, smart TV, router, phone, whatever you're taking with you, NordVPN.com/Fightful will add extra layers of security to your digital life. You can get a password manager, a file encryption tool. Be safe. Be smart. NordVPN.com/Fightful.
NordVPN.com/Fightful. Guys, keep those super chats and humper chats coming at humperchats.com. We are moving around the show here. I'm seeing that Jeff Hardy just showed up to TNA, which is not super surprising based on the contract news that was broken on FiveOSelect.com. Best $5 in the biz. Matt Hardy's been there. Matt Hardy declared for that Battle Royal that's coming up on NXT next week, which is interesting. So it's a fun landscape right now, but
really is.
Move along to Tetris champion, crypto scammer, US champion, whatever, Logan Paul. he comes home and LA Knight is chilling in the pool, just like Alex said, and nothing really happens from that. But we do get Carmelo with a promo shortly after this. And he says that LA Knight thought he cooked, but it was medium rare trash like him in their talk last week. And he says some dudes will do anything for clout, but he doesn't chase opportunities. Opportunities chase him. Very like, I don't chase, I attract. Very LOA from
yeah.
Carmelo. But he says that he has a Money in the Bank qualifier and he won't beg for it like LA Knight does. And when he wins, it won't be just him. He'll be a step closer to being Melo in the Bank. So feels like LA Knight might finally get to wear a title here. And Carmelo is probably going to be the first one up for that. Intrigued to see what happens in the Money in the Bank qualifiers. Similar to Alex, I wish that they had done a little bit more as far as like why people are in these matches. But we'll see what comes out of them. Melo looking good on the main roster. I think they're taking their time with it slowly but surely, but I feel like small test pass has been sure. the trajectory for him. Any thoughts from you there?
Nah, just, you know, continue building Melo's star power on the main roster. You know, we've already seen what he could do at NXT, and now you put him up here, and people seem to really take to him. So, you know, and he's very good in the ring. I mean, you can't ask for much more than that.
He is. He is excellent. He is the full package, and people are going to get to see him for a lot of years to come. But we also had some build to our women's tag titles. Again, not everything along this journey has made sense, but it makes me very happy that the women's tag titles are being defended on PLE. I like the teams that are in them. It is kind of that same wall of inevitability that Jade and Bianca are going to hold them until they feel like Jade is ready to turn on Bianca or vice versa. But we get a couple of vignettes. And then we have our spooky Scottish witches who don't know if they're spooky Scottish
witches
anymore.
They're not spooky anymore. They're just normal, everyday witches. And now I'm just like, my life is ruined. I mean...
Day, which is so funny. funny.
They shop at Prada and wear Chanel and hang out.
But like they kind of, here's what was so weird, was Isla Dawn felt like she was in like Under Armour gear, but Alba Fire was kind of still in spooky Scottish witch gear. Like they did not look like they matched at all. This was so
they're like an upgraded version of the Craft. I just dated myself. Sorry for all you young people in here.
That's okay. There are young people.
What the hell is the Craft? This old man's talking about it.
It's just confusing because, I mean, Isla Dawn looked like she was ready to go play football or soccer, whatever you want to call it.
I know, yeah.
And Alba Fire was like, I still dress like a witch. And I'm like, I don't know what page you guys are on here, but... they say that they are two of the most heartless fighters in WWE, which is good. And I'm looking forward to the match for sure. They definitely, definitely need to have them in action for sure. Like they are too good to be out of action for this long. So hopefully this sets them on some sort of path. But we move on to Mi Chin and Nia Jax, who... Squashity, squash, squash, squash. Nia Jax winning with the Annihilator here, but Tiffany Stratton coming into play. She was on commentary for this and caused the distraction of Mi Chin tossing Tiffany over the table to get in the ring at one point in this. I mean, this was just a squash. It's very disconnected from what's going on in NXT, which is very frustrating as a viewer of both products. Especially when they're actively trying to get more eyes on NXT, you think that they would create some continuity there. But Mi Chin, Mia Yim, amazing wrestler, incredible counter wrestler specifically. I wish that she felt more important on the main roster, but Queen Nia is going to do what Queen Nia does.
Yeah.
Your thoughts on this squash?
I'm just there with you. I mean, what else are we going to... I don't know what's up with Mia Yim. One day she's a superhero doing great things. And, you know, like we spoke before with Alex, and now, you know, she's getting destroyed by Queen Jax, which I don't mind. I want to build that.
Sure.
I want to build Nia Jax to be a freaking, you know, monster of a wrestler and just no one can stop me. I became queen and I'm going to just, you know, piss ass slap you, you know, like get out of here. So, but I feel bad for Mia. She's such a great talent.
She is.
And she's, I'm so many ups and downs with her. I just hope that whatever they have going on for her down at NXT or wherever she's going or whatever she's doing, it's good for her. And Nia's just not, I think Nia's on a rampage right now and things are looking really good for her.
On a rampage, you say? Well, did let's I just talk that... rampage.
Fuck it. I'm retiring. I'm going to the Fightful Hall of Fame for broadcasting and journalism. And you then are I'm out.
Just the Wrestling Hall of Fame, I think. But wow. We had our Women's Championship Eliminator match between the debuting Alex Windsor, who looked very good in her ROH debut yesterday, and Toni Storm. Alex Windsor, if you're not familiar... the lady of Will Ospreay, but a hell of a career outside of that. Challenged for the New Japan women's title of recent. Rev Pro standout, ass kicker, so awesome. But she loses in this via pinfall to Toni Storm with that Storm Zero. Harley Cameron gets interviewed backstage and loses her mind about all the wrestlers who are declaring for the Owen, I guess, and says that Saraya would be making her way back to Wembley once again. That's an interesting one, because Saraya versus Mercedes, I think, could have been really fun. So I feel like maybe that's the program that we head to, but not for the main title. But we will see. We will see.
Yeah.
Video package of Deonna and Thunder Rosa ahead of their no DQ match on the 1-year anniversary of Collision. They should fight forever. I love what they're doing. Just let them continue to beat the hell out of each other because they always do. You've got Cage of Agony, Brian Cage, Khan, and Toa Leona versus Job Squad, I believe. no offense to them. I hate doing that. But they get the win here with the lift-off powerbomb. We get Shota Umino defeating Rocky Romero. Hell yes. And he did the CEO dance mid-match. Shota Umino, a future like New Japan staple, I think. I think he is going to be a pillar of this up and rising class, doing incredible work. If you're not familiar with him, young boy of John Moxley, you're seeing some really, really great work out of Shota of late. Apparently we're getting Etchesero versus Dalton Castle on Collision tomorrow. Could tomorrow's Collision be booked anymore for Kate? I don't think it could.
Seriously.
You have Lucha Tekker Etchesero versus Dalton Castle and two of my like goat tag teams. Come on now. Satnam Singh defeating Rosario Grillo in a squash de-squash, according to Luis. And then Lethal appearing after the match saying that he could beat his opponent quicker. And then Pac defeated Lethal with a brutalizer. So sounds like a pretty productive Rampage tonight.
Yeah.
And there you go. We got a super chat that said solid the craft reference, Alexis. So we are joined by old people in the chat, which is great for us.
I love that for us.
So we've got Kevin Owens wearing Rey Mysterio merch, wearing the Eddie Scarface shirt, which I love. He's just out here wearing out everybody else's
I love that shirt,
which I love so much. We'll take you through what happens earlier in the night into our main event here, but you have the Profits and B-Fab showing up to say that they have Kevin Owens back, and psych, no, they're not going to, because there is a beatdown. Kevin Owens says he fought the bootleg bloodline before, which I love him calling them that, and he'll do it again. And we have Solo, who's walking backstage with Tama and Tanga, and Nick Aldis stops them and says, based on what he just saw, they are barred from ringside, and if they show up, they are all suspended. Best of luck, Mr. Head of the Table. Mm-hmm. Paul Heyman says to Kevin Owens that he should accept the counsel that he's on his own against KO. Or I'm sorry, says to Solo Sikoa that he's on his own against KO. And if he loses the match, he loses his leadership position against the guys who don't respect leadership. Solo says the wise man is wrong. If he loses, he's coming after him. So this was woven pretty well throughout the episode, I felt like. The Street Profits are a phenomenal tag team. They should feel like contenders for the tag titles. They feel like a pawn in everybody else's games right now. I don't know why we're not building them. But this match is pretty fun. Kevin Owens massively over everywhere he goes, including Scotland, which was awesome. But you have Kevin Owens, who would win this if Paul Heyman hadn't put Solo Sikoa's foot on the rope. But going after him was KO's Achilles heel, if you would, as he takes two Samoan spikes and loses. Tonga and Tanga immediately run in to the ring after and attack Owens until who else but Randy Orton comes out for the save, makes a huge return. The crowd lost it for them. Really, really funny facial expression after Kevin Owens hit the frog splash from Paul Heyman. Just like those cartoonish faces get me every time, but exactly how you would expect bloodline math to play out, but well done. Pretty well done in this as far as a main event goes. What did you think of how we closed the show tonight? Kevin Owens can do no wrong to me.
No, I think the show was great. They ended it the right way. I think that they're not doing too much of the run-ins with the Bloodline 2.0, as in the beginning, it was really bad. Every single match, there was somebody coming in and doing something. There's little subtle things here and there. I think they're playing the Paul Heyman card right. He's kind of still being a part of the team while still being a little bit curious about what the hell is happening.
Really, you know, striking the balance well with that.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. So he's kind of like, okay, I'm still here for you, but I don't understand who's giving you the power to do all this crap, you know? So I think it was great. I said it in the beginning of the show, I didn't think it was an insane show. They didn't really like start anything new, and it shouldn't, especially we're heading into a pay-per-view tomorrow afternoon. So, you know, it is what it is. And I'm going to sit here and enjoy tomorrow's show. You know?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to a lot of the in-ring that we have coming up for tomorrow. Will closing us out here saying the way people treat Paul is great. Brock was just business. Roman looked at Paul as family with their history, and Solo just doesn't care. Agreed. And I feel like going back even further than that with Punk, right? Like their relationship was different from his with Brock. Like really, really nice how versatile of a manager he is to be able to do that. But
will they cut the feed?
There you go. That is the question. Will we cut the feed?
Cut the feed.
Speaking of cutting the feed, we did get some The Reckoning is Inevitable vignettes that wove their way in. The Wyatt Six certainly looks like they're going to be debuting on the 17th. So looking forward to that paying off. But before we get out of here, Mr. Cardozo, where can the people find you?
You can find me by simply going to the iGram. That's what the kids call it nowadays. And I no. And following me, Alexis Cardoza, all together. You can follow me down here on the little tweet bird. I still go there once in a while to piss off Elon. underscore Alexis. I don't know why I did that in an accent.
Alexis, I was going to say, I don't know why you.
But I'm 100% of the time talking X-Men cartoons and all things fun on Threads, which is a part of Instagram. So you can find me in there as well. Lots of great engagement with people in there. And I want to, once again, every week I say this, thank you all for following me and for keeping me honest and for being amazing. Men's health month, mental health month. So, you know, freaking get checked out, talk, whatever. There's someone always around to talk to. I don't care what anyone says. Secondly, happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. This this Sunday coming up. If you think you might have fathered, then you celebrate.
More Popovich isn't around anymore, but God bless. We hope
careful where you laid it.
If you are the father, we hope that you find out in the most loving of ways. But
please,
I'm asking my dad to come paint my studio this weekend. So
look at that. What a great Father's Day gift.
We'll get him dinner too. But
get him fed.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So he's just really good at it. So as we're closing out here, I will share this quick story. My dad is one of seven. He's the second oldest. And when he was a kid, there was a fire in his three-story house. He was old enough at that point where he could like help out as they were rebuilding it, repainting it. So he got really, really good at painting, especially like trim around windows.
Sure.
Because it was a three-story house and they rebuilt two floors of it, I believe. So he's been like the guy who can do that really, really well.
Beautiful.
He has been the best dad in the whole wide world. So happy Father's Day to my dad.
Happy Father's Day, Mr. Bangs.
Mr. Bangs, what if my dad had bangs? That would be insane.
That'd be sexy. Should put some bangs on him this weekend. Just put it on Twitter.
The bangs are hereditary. Guys, you can catch me at Miss Kate Fabe on social media. You can also catch me and Alex Pulaski tomorrow doing that Clash at the Castle review on FightfulSelect.com. Other than that, Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays here on the main feed at Fightful. I'm joined by SP3 on Thursdays now, which is so nice to have a permanent co-host back. And that fella... and you can catch me losing my mind at tomorrow's collision because that is a Kate card for sure.
And watch Wrestling with Freddie next week. We have Adam Copeland.
Oh my gosh. Edge Cope is going to be on Wrestling with Freddie.
Tell me how I pull that off, babe. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, I got two cell phones going at the same time. You know what I'm saying?
Oh my gosh. Scoops Cardoza over there getting interviews too. My goodness, guys, have a safe and wonderful wrestling weekend. Stay tuned to Fightful. We've got so much content coming out this weekend on Fightful Select and here on our YouTube channel. We thank you so much. Have a wonderful weekend and Father's Day.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, Our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.